Good morning. Thank you for joining our online service at Stoke Green Baptist Church. Whether you're watching this morning or later in the day, it's lovely to have you with us. Ian, our minister, is taking a break today, so we're really pleased to have a good friend of ours, Dr. Ian Harrison from Frinton, taking our service this morning and sharing God's word with us. A big thank you too to Diane and all the team involved in putting these services together Sunday by Sunday. We do appreciate it very much. May we all know God's touch on our lives as we join together in worship today.
Good morning, everyone, on this first Sunday in Lent. I hope you enjoyed your pancakes on Tuesday. And thank you, Michael, for your welcome and thanks this morning. It was great to not just hear you, but to actually see you. Thank you for filming that for us. After our first song, Gary will lead our thoughts in prayer before we continue worshipping. And so, we come to worship this morning, preparing our hearts to look at the subject of the power in weakness. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we thank you as we worship that through the calm and through the storm, in every high and every low, you never let go, Lord. You never let go of us.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? of the storms of this life. I won't turn back, I know you are near, and I will bear no evil, for my God is with me, and if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh, no, you never let go, through the calm and through the storm. Oh, no, you never let go, in every high and every low. Oh, no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me.
Let's pray. We come before you humbly this morning, Lord, for even in the midst of this global pandemic, we know that you are constant and sure, for you are God. Thank you, Lord, that you've continued to keep us safe as a fellowship through the pandemic. Thank you, too, for the safe delivery of new life into the fellowship, with most recently the safe arrival of Isabel Mackinder, a new daughter for Holly and Liam. And of course, a little sister to Jacob. Watch over the family, Lord, in the days and weeks ahead, we pray, and keep them safe. As we look forward in faith, we pray first of all for our country, and most specifically for our government. We are grateful, Lord, that we do not have to make the difficult and complex decisions that our leaders do, and we ask that they may be blessed with the wisdom to make the right decisions for the country as they seek to lead us forward as a whole. Turning to the fellowship, Lord, we ask that during this time of Lent, you give us the opportunity to draw close. Draw close so that we can hear what you have to say to us. We pray for members of the fellowship that are unwell, Lord, and that you would continue to grant them healing. As we think of the fellowship, we remember also that other babies are due soon, bringing more new life into the fellowship. And we ask for your continued safety for those families and patience as the due dates draw close. Lord God, help us to remember that we can come to you with all that we need. For you are a generous and loving God, a God in which we can rely entirely. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
After our next song, and before Ian speaks, Arthur will be bringing us the Bible reading this morning. And we thank both Gary and Arthur for helping to lead us through our service today. As Gary has just prayed, we can rely on God completely and utterly. He is our cornerstone. Through good and bad, he is our strength and our hope for eternity. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Saviour's love.
The reading today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 26 to 31, then continuing on to verse 5 in chapter 2. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Jesus Christ, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Amen.
Well, good morning, Stoke Green Baptist Church, and good morning to everyone who's tuned into this worship service today. My name is Ian Harrison, and I live in Frinton, and thank you for the privilege of sharing God's word with you today. I hope and I pray that the message from the Bible right now will help you in these difficult COVID times. And the title of the message I want to share with you this morning is The Power of Weakness. So before we look at that, let's pray now and ask God for his help. Father God, thank you that you haven't left us alone in the world. You've spoken to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And you've given us these words in the scriptures to guide us and encourage us. So we pray right now that you would give us the gift of wisdom to hear what you're saying and the power of your Spirit to do what it says. And we pray this help for every single one of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, from our Bible reading, the Apostle Paul says, God has chosen the weak things in the world to shame the strong. And what I'm learning in these tough times, working out how to do life with all the very difficult but very necessary COVID restrictions, what I'm learning is this, that what people around us need is not for us to be able to answer all the difficult questions about the undeniable difficulties for so many people in this awful pandemic. What people need, incredibly, is to see how God helps us as we are in our weakness and sometimes even in our brokenness. I was reading about a church that started a little group in someone's home. They called the little group For Strugglers. It was for those who'd lost their faith, for those who had no faith at all, for those who weren't sure. It was for prodigals. It was for those who were emotionally scarred. It was for those who didn't feel that they really made it. And all that the members of this group had to share was their weakness. And you know, people were beating the door down to get into that group. And many stories of healing and finding faith and faith coming alive again came out of that group For Strugglers, as they discovered the incredible power of weakness. You know, there are plenty of successful people out there, people who've got it all together in their family life, in their homes, in their faith. They seem to have all the answers. They understand lots of difficult issues. They've got answers for everything. But sometimes we need to be a little bit more vulnerable with people. So you might say to me, Ian, how does that work? Well, there's a pattern and there's a principle that runs right through the Bible. In our Bible reading today, the Apostle Paul says, God has chosen the weak things in the world to shame the strong, so that no one may boast before him. This is God's way. This is God's method. And it's good news. We need to understand it. God chooses the weak things so that when he chooses them and then things happen, everyone knows it's God. The same principle, if you want to jump forward to the next book in the Bible after 1 Corinthians that we read, in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, we have this treasure, that's the good news about Jesus, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Jars of clay, just ordinary things. That's the principle. God uses ordinary people. Jars of clay are fragile and easily broken, but that's how God has decided and wants and likes to work, through ordinary, fragile, simple people. That's his method. God's Holy Spirit working through us and not us struggling and battling away in our own strength. And that's good news. Well, it's good news for me. Paul says it again later in 2 Corinthians. He says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. It kind of contradicts itself, doesn't it? You know, when I know I'm weak, then I'm strong. If I think I'm strong and I think I can manage without God, then actually I'm weak. And amazingly, God has chosen to fulfill his purpose on this earth through weak, ordinary, simple, needy, helpless people, which means we are all included if we want to be. That's the way God works. We're not surprised. God came to live on earth. How did he come? As a baby. Anything more helpless than a baby? He was born to unknown parents. He was born on a stable floor, or maybe even in the street. He was born in a little town, Bethlehem, the very smallest of all the tribes. The news of his birth was announced to shepherds who were on the very lowest rung of society. He grew up in a town called Nazareth, which was famous for nothing. He entered Jerusalem on a donkey. That's the way God works. He didn't barge in strength and splendour. He came in weakness and obscurity. When we look in the Old Testament, we read about people like Moses. God called him, and Moses said, oh, I'm not very eloquent. You'd better send somebody else. And God picks Gideon. And he says, well, I'm the least in my family. And God goes to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah says, I'm only a youth. But their very sense of inadequacy was the first and foremost reason why God chose them. They were small in their own eyes. And God uses people who are small in their own eyes. You know the story, don't you? Moses, brought up in a palace. He started to think he really was somebody, didn't he? And he was nobody that God could use. 40 years later, looking after sheep in the desert, he thought he really was a nobody. And at last, God had somebody he could use to change history. There was a man called Gary Lydeck, and Gary worked for a Christian organisation in America called Focus on the Family. They're similar to Care for the Family organisation, which is based in Britain. And this man writes, "I love my dad, but whatever we did, he would not come to faith in Jesus. He said, I took my dad to hear all the great preachers in America. He watched all the videos. He read all the books. He said, my dad would not come to faith in Jesus. And then he said, I got news that my dad is dying. And I ring the hospital and I say, can I come and sleep in my dad's room? I want to be there when my dad dies. And they say, come. And he writes about it like this. He says, I sleep in a little bed at the foot of my father's bed. And the hospital decides to invite Gary to speak at the little hospital chapel service. And he says, at this little chapel service, I'm telling them why I'm at the hospital to be with my father. And there's a young boy there. He's about 20 years old. And he's got Down syndrome. And he's in a wheelchair. And he's listening to me. And after the service, the matron of the hospital comes up and she says, Mr. Lydeck, there's someone who would like some family counselling. Would you see her? And he says, would you send her to my father's room at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning? And he says, this woman comes to my father's room and we're sitting in the corner of the room talking. And as we're talking, suddenly, out of the corner of my eye, I see a movement in the corridor outside. And it's this boy in a wheelchair. And he can't keep his head still. Not only has he got Down syndrome, he's got lots of other difficulties too. He can't keep his head still. Saliva's running down his face. He's shaking in the wheelchair as he pushes his wheelchair into the room. And Gary says, I'm still talking to this lady, but this kid comes in. And the lady he's counselling says, he's my son. And Gary said, let him stay, he'll be fine. And he says, I'm talking with this lady and the boy is coming closer to my father. To my father in his bed. And now he's at my father's bedside. And we both stop talking and we're watching this young man. And he had heard what I'd said in the chapel about my own father. And as we watched, he put his hand on my father's arm and began to pray out loud for my dad. Gary said, 2 days later, my father said to me, son, it's time I gave my life to Jesus. And brothers and sisters, I don't know what's going on with this whole thing, but I've got a hunch it's something like this. I think that many of us spend our lives with our neighbours and with our friends and maybe even with our non-Christian family members, trying to live what we think needs to be seen as altogether lives, having all the answers. Whereas actually, what's needed is to be vulnerable and to love people and care for people, and be an open channel for God's Spirit working in us and through us, and to help turn people to the God of grace who is precious to us. It's true, isn't it? We've all got stories to tell. We've all got stories to tell. Have you ever been to a reclamation yard? Places where you can buy old tiles and bathroom things and bits and pieces from old houses. And very often you can find old doors stacked, all off their hinges, often made out of old pine, and all for sale. Big doors, small doors, blue doors and red doors, doors with brass on them, sometimes a door with a key still in it. And I wonder, what stories could those doors tell us? What memories have they closed on? And you have your doors too. And I have mine. Some of us know about difficulties in our family life. Some of us, our children will break our hearts. Many of us know what it's like to be bereaved. Some know what it's like to be in a depressive illness, every morning waking up with that sinking feeling. The tablets help, but not much. And we say, how did this happen to me? How did I end up here? And what can I give? You know, funny as it might sound, this might be the moment of your greatest strength. It might be the moment of your greatest strength, never more effective for God as you reach out to someone else. You can't give them much because you're not doing too well at the moment. And right now, with the present restrictions, it is difficult to reach out to other people as we'd love to do. But it won't be long before we can. Share a cup of coffee and you can listen. Most people are craving not for answers. They can find answers. They're craving for someone who'll look in their eyes when they're speaking to them. Isn't that just the greatest compliment you can pay another person? And reach out and touch them and say, me too, I've been there. I don't have many answers now, but could I pray for you? You know, I've discovered that whoever I'm with, if I say to them as they tell me about their family life, if I say to them, most days I pray a little, would you mind if I pray for you? I've never had anyone who said to me, don't you dare do that for me. They always say, would you do that? I will. Have you ever wondered why a six-year-old child can live this Christian life better than we do? It's so simple for them. It should be simple for us too. They wake in the mornings, they've got a friend. They can't see him, he's invisible. Sometimes they don't feel him, but they know he's there by faith. They don't go through the day on their own. They put their hand in his hand, and it's called practicing the presence of God. And they walk and they talk with their friend called Jesus through the day. And when things go well, they say thank you. And when they make a mistake, they say sorry. And when they need help, they say please. And it works because they know what it is in their weakness to depend. And we say, well, I'm too sophisticated, too worldly wise, or too grown up, or too strong, or too self-sufficient to live that way anymore. And if that's so, we've lost it. Because on this roller coaster of life, there are two words we need to hear. Cling tight. Cling tight to Jesus every hour. Every minute. You need him. I need him. Whatever I'm doing. But are we small enough? Are we weak enough? Are we clinging tight, finding out what it means to depend on him over and over again? The more we remember him in the day and ask for his help, the better. And he will care for us over and over and over again. And he will enable us often when we are at our lowest ebb. How does God enable us? It's by the power of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus himself working in us and through us. And it's called the power of weakness. Amen.
Ian, we thank you so much for your word for us today. Our closing song keeps our eyes fixed on Christ as we affirm the promises we have in him. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. God bless you all this week.